Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerdy 2 podcast. My name is Chris, and you know the rest.
Fine.
I'm here with...
John.
Sam.
And John.
And John's here in person, finally.
Yay!
Yay!
But anyway, special. We have a... it's not really special, but we have two topics today. We saw Spider-Man, except for John. Homecoming. We finally got everybody here to discuss it. And after that, we're going to do Game of Thrones predictions because in 24 hours,
just
27
over.
Hours,
wow.
Game of Thrones new season starts.
You realize people just listen to this whenever, right?
Yep.
The time is meaningless.
Valid. But anyway, it's Saturday night. Just heads up. Game of Thrones comes out tomorrow.
Sorry.
Yep.
I like to think people are listening to us live.
Yeah.
Actually, we could technically do that.
No, I mean, like, there's somebody, like, out, like on the other side of that door listening to us.
Like a cup to the door?
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I'm going to get all the dirt on the Knights of Nerditude.
Yeah.
Wow. Paranoia. But anyway, let's do... Big
brothers listening.
We're going to do Game of Thrones predictions. John has tasked us with coming up with one big prediction that we think is going to happen this season, not over the rest of the series.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Okay. No, you'll explain it later, but it's mostly just predictions for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, a bold prediction for this season, we'll say.
But what we came here to discuss today and drink a few beers about is the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming came out last week on Thursday night. It's been out for, I want to say, 7 days?
8 days.
8 days. 8 days. Sorry, yeah, no, I had to do that.
Again, if you're listening to this on Sunday, that would be 9 days. If you're listening to this on Monday, that would be 10.
I already
maybe
told them the
days.
Date.
And so
if they can't
on,
figure that out, forth. You know, it is what it is. But anyway, Sam's favorite movie character has come to the big screen yet again. Sam, please take that away.
I mean, it was okay, yes.
First thoughts on the movie, initial reaction. Did you bust a nut?
I mean... Not that much.
So he just got the dribble.
Yeah, I love this
part. Little bit of pre-web there.
Yeah. I webbed my pants.
Initial reaction, what did you like? Name a few things of what you liked about the movie the most.
It was a really funny movie.
Agreed.
And it's Spider-Man. That's how you play Spider-Man. He's a funny character. He's silly.
Agreed.
The other movies just never really captured that. Yeah. Especially the Tobey Maguire movies.
But, you know, Amazing Spider-Man, they kind of did.
They kind of did,
Amazing
but they also
Spider-Man
made incredibly
kinda.
Boring movies.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire, that wasn't really a funny character
no.
whatsoever.
No.
It was. It was like a...
And that's the thing with Spider-Man. He's very witty.
Yeah, he's supposed to be witty and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a kid. He thinks he's invisible, you know? But anyway, so, was this your favorite Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah. This was my favorite Spider-Man.
Okay. What else? Positives.
Positives? I like Tom Holland.
Is he your favorite Spider-Man?
I'd have to see more, but yeah, he's probably up there.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Sean? Well, Sean is the only one aside from myself.
What?
Positives? Like, let's just positives.
Go positives?
We're not starting with negatives. I hate that.
Okay. Well, I usually start with negatives for movies we really enjoy. But no, I mean, the flow was really nice. I mean, not too much Iron Man. Not too much.
No, they were flirting with it.
It wasn't too much.
It was right on the line.
But it wasn't too much. It, whether or not it was on the line or not, it wasn't too much.
No, I know. They barely hit
it. It was perfect. It was like right where it needed to be.
I wouldn't say it's perfect.
I really enjoyed Marissa Tomei as as Aunt May.
The total 2.5 minutes that you actually seen of Aunt May.
That's all you need.
More like Aunt MILF, right?
Everybody in Queens thought it was appropriate to try and have sex with her.
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
They all
everybody.
Agreed.
The bodega shop guy.
Yeah, they all refer to as like a hot Italian
Thai
girl.
Restaurant server.
Yeah, everybody wanted a piece of Aunt May.
Iron Man.
Well, yeah. Although I like that when she was like, I don't really like that Tony Stark guy. Like, it was just kind of funny.
There was not enough. Oh, we'll get into negatives later. But anyway, yeah. Positives? Anything else?
I mean, there's
plenty. Keep going. Yeah.
There's
positive. Positive for me.
All right.
The best part of this movie was the Vulture.
Loved him as a villain.
Michael Keaton, right?
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Nailed the character.
Really?
I never thought the Vulture was interesting. And he made it interesting.
Yeah, he's not really interesting. What I like...
Interesting in the comics, you mean?
The Vulture normally basically absorbs people's life essence-ish. Yeah. And basically is a really old dude who can become young when he absorbs their life essence or whatever.
So he's like Kirby?
Yeah, pretty much.
Dark Kirby.
But in this one, he's not. He's just...
He wears an alien
tech suit. His suit... Yeah, the whole point is he's salvaging from the incident.
Yeah.
It's the incident. They refer to it as the incident.
Well, and so he's salvaging that, and then like a team shows up, and they're like, yeah, your team is no longer needed here. Go home. And he's like, well, I spent all this money, so I need to be reimbursed. And they're like, yeah, no, fuck off.
What it was... The government contracted his company to clean up the mess, sort of like that Powerless show, but wasn't the Powerless show, where they're hired to clean up the mess.
Powerless is about prevention.
Yeah, prevention, not cleaning up.
Cleanage. I'm sorry, I thought it was about that.
No.
But anyway.
Get your canceled comic book show correct, Chris.
You know,
to clean up.
Guys, I just want something pops in my head. I believe because we talk about it enough, I think we are the official Powerless fan club podcast.
I watched another episode.
Oh, you're at two?
They released, so Adam West was in the finale or the penultimate episode.
Did they really
whatever.
Release all those last ones?
Well, they released that one. Because
obviously.
He died.
Rest in peace.
It was good. It was actually good. It wasn't fucking hilarious, but it was I maybe would watch the show.
Oh boy! And it's all until the last episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
They can't obviously you cancel because it's I don't know. Every comedy's the same where the first couple episodes are awful.
Right. But then again, we did start watching second season of Preacher, even though we hated the first season
and enjoyed it.
But anyway, back to Spider-Man.
We're gonna talk about Preacher now.
The government. So the government hired his company, to clean up basically, and then the government had a new division. I forget what the division
damage
is called.
Control.
Damage control.
Department of Damage
and
Control.
Then, yeah, I know, right?
Stupid name.
And then they just, the department is now cleaning up. So all of his guys are out of jobs and stuff. And that's where he kind of becomes the villain. He needs to provide for his guys and his family. And so he starts stealing alien tech.
So he's a benevolent business owner that's being oppressed by an over.
Pretty much.
The man.
He's basically his point is the world is changing. So should we. And that's kind of Spider-Man. Yeah. That's, Tom Holland's Spider-Man's character is the same way. The world is changing, so do I.
Are the Avengers the globalists?
You would see the Avengers as the man,
Yeah.
The stick it to the man type. He sees
Tony
Stark
world
even
police.
Uses the saying below their pay grade.
Yes.
So basically Avengers are at the top, everything else they don't have to worry about.
They set it up. And that's how he kind of becomes it is.
Here's where I disagree with you. I thought Vulture was the worst part of that. He felt like an empty suit.
Really?
Really? He felt like he was there just to have a villain.
I really beg to differ because I think of all the Marvel villains, he's in my top five.
Yeah, he's pretty far up there.
But then again, it's personal preference. The villains I like are the ones who are more... quote unquote down to earth on the level. I don't I'm sure I'm not gonna like Thanos as much as I really should, but all the god villains and things like that, like Silver Surfer and Galactus and things like that, they want to conquer the world, the galaxy, but
he just wants to make a buck.
Even though Mandarin was shit in the movie, he's a down-to-earth guy who was a competitor of Tony Stark in the books, and then he just wanted to see him fail. And that's it. It was ground level.
And, like, honestly, if you grade it on the, like, curve of, like, origin movie villains, I mean, has there really been a great villain in an origin movie?
No.
Yeah.
I think Iron Man 1, and then Red Skull, maybe.
In Marvel or all?
All Batman 2. I mean, like, I think the villains are the weakest in the first, well...
I'd say Green Goblin would probably be the best at that point.
I feel like I got a bad taste in my mouth with Green Goblin, only because there were so many.
There was one Green Goblin. I'm not even considering Amazing Spider-Man 2 to be a Green Goblin, because I don't even know what the fuck that was.
He was a Green Goblin.
No, he wasn't.
He was green.
Was he green?
He was an Osborn. He was green?
Doesn't matter.
He wasn't a Green Goblin.
He wasn't on screen long enough to establish himself as the Green Goblin. Anyways, we're getting off point.
It doesn't matter.
We're getting off topic.
All right, but anyway, the Vulture I thought was the best part of the movie.
I really enjoyed the Vulture as
like
well.
Like, my whole thing with him is, like, I didn't care if he succeeded or failed.
I cared if he lived or died.
What I really liked about this movie, Spider-Man never technically won.
Yeah.
In any of his fights. He saved the kid, you know, the kids from the elevator and the
Elevator.
He saved them, but he, you know, that's a save. It's not really a win or a loss. He never won.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, the fact that
he technically won the fight on the plane at the very end.
Oh, no, okay. Just in the fight in general, he never technically won. Yeah, okay.
It was Vulture's, like, hubris that took him down.
Right. Yeah, and he tried to save him.
And then he saved him.
Because if it wasn't going to explode, then he would have got away.
Right.
It's just he tried to save him.
He even says, I'm trying to save your life.
Yeah.
So
Spider-Man never technically won in that movie.
Yeah.
Iron Man had to save the boat.
Yep.
And then, I mean, sure, he beat the Avengers, you know, when they were robbing the bank, but
there was a lot of damage done.
Up the bodega, so he never really won.
Yeah,
and that was great.
A lot of collateral damage.
Yeah.
So, speaking of villains, Sam, how did you enjoy the Shocker?
He was just there.
Yeah, I know.
Which one?
Which Shocker? The second one.
They're like, oh yeah, Shocker's in this.
The dude from the Total Recall reboot.
I'm like, where's Jamie Foxx?
Come on. Easter egg. Did you see his costume?
No, I didn't.
Oh! So at one point, his shirt comes down, and he's got the yellow shirt with the stripes on it. And I'm like, it's the costume! Like, I was so excited. That was one of the Easter eggs that I caught watching it.
Is that the one you had to check?
Nope.
Okay, we'll get in there.
We'll get there.
What else do you like?
Just it never dragged. It just kept
nice pace,
kept going, kept me in there.
I believed he was in high school at times.
Yeah.
Like, even for a 21 year old.
I completely forgot. It was like his friend Ned.
He was great.
Did they not nail every single, like, awkward moment you could ever imagine in high school?
Yeah.
They nailed every single one of those. It was just whether or not he was awkward talking to the girl, and then, like, the girl saying weirdo when Ned was talking to him about building the Death Star frame. they nailed that very well, written by all 50 guys that wrote it. So
this reminds me, I really liked how they did MJ.
I wasn't sure I was going to like it, but in the end, I was okay with
it. It's a different take, and I'll accept
it. Right. I mean, she doesn't have the red hair, and that was a year ago while we were talking about this. That was, like, my thing, but I'm looking past it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not really.
MJ?
I'm indifferent. I'm more worried
kind
about.
Of, like, a little upset her name's not Mary.
Yeah, but I can look past that. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? You're going a different way, and you know what? It doesn't annoy me.
I feel like by the third Spider-Man, you kind of have to spin some things a certain way.
Yeah, you got to make it your own.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
Did we enjoy, was it Jennifer Connelly?
Oh, awesome. Loved it.
Yeah,
No,
as Karen.
Okay, let's put it this way. I love the fact, I like the idea that they put the AI in his suit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that they put the AI in the suit. It's a bipolar thing, because I didn't like the fact that he relied on the suit way too much.
Mm.
But then again, they took it away, so I'm not really... but I mean, he doesn't have spider sense right now. Supposedly, it's going to develop over time. Spider-Man isn't Spider-Man without his sense.
I'm going with he does because of the fight with the, as we say, Avengers. He kind of shows that he has some kind of spider sense. He doesn't come out and say he has spider sense, unlike the other two reincarnations of Spider-Man. He does, like, the other two, they're like, oh, something's going to happen. In this one, you can tell he's, like, dodging and weaving the bullets and punches and stuff because he's got some kind of spider sense.
Yeah, he's got that. But it just, you know, when he's like, ooh, I can listen in into the van and what's going on. Yeah, a little bit too much. But with what I really loved about it was Jennifer Connelly. Because why? Because she is the wife
of Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany, who was Jarvis.
Yeah. So it goes Jarvis to Karen. It's kind of cool.
And it's awesome. Yeah. And I loved how they did that. I'm sure they chose to do it that way. But then again, I will offer free advice to Sony later on about all this stuff.
Ooh, teasing us.
I will tease you because I don't understand how... All right, well, we'll get into it later. But anyway.
All right.
Loved it. Jennifer Connelly. On point. That was a great idea.
I didn't even know who it was until after the movie. I went home. I was like, oh, it's Jennifer Connelly. Okay.
Was that what you were looking up?
No.
No? Okay, we'll get there.
Damn. Yeah. Okay, so...
Okay.
Do you want me to talk about the Easter egg that I caught that I really had to look into to understand?
No, let me go over the two that I saw.
All right.
So Donald Glover was in it.
Right.
And he is a Prowler.
Yes.
And his quote-unquote nephew...
Is Miles Morales.
Technically,
there you go, Sam.
Oh.
So he is Prowler. So you're reading the comic, so you know who Prowler is. He comes up a few times. So that would be Glover's character.
He's his uncle, and he eventually gets him to become Spider-Man.
There you
eventually.
Go.
Yeah.
So, awesome little Easter egg.
If we're playing off of that, eventually Spider-Man will die.
Right.
Agreed. Or, if you want to go down Reddit, read those threads, Spider-Man might be, or this Peter Parker might become the new Iron Man.
Okay.
That's like a rabbit hole theory right there.
Because you've got, literally have two people who can take over the Captain America role.
Yes.
And then,
will they do?
Bucky Barnes.
Yeah, but which one will they think
and
they
Sam
do?
And Sam Wilson.
I know, but which one do you think they're going to?
Bucky Barnes is signed off for like seven films.
I know.
So.
If they do one, I think it's going to be Bucky. But anyway.
Sorry, my mic goes off. Why?
No norm would have ever figured out the Miles Morales thing unless you actually went into it. So that's more or less fans.
I saw that on the internet like afterwards. I had no idea.
I didn't catch him saying my nephew Miles or something.
No, he didn't say anything. It's his name.
It's his nephew.
They bring up his name and it's some whatever Morales.
Oh, something Morales. And okay. Yeah. I didn't catch that.
Which is also the name of Prowler. So put two and two together. Boom.
And then
I caught it mainly because a lot of people were saying that they wanted Glover to be
Spider-Man. They wanted him to be Miles Morales.
Yeah.
No, Glover suggested implied that he wanted to be in the movie from the beginning for a while.
There was a huge campaign before Andrew Garfield took the cowl.
Yeah.
That they wanted Glover to be Spider-Man, but then it went to Garfield.
Yes, and then eventually.
So I'm glad that
they're in it. But
he didn't add anything for me to the film. He was just kind of a hey, it's this guy kind of character.
And the other Easter egg, it took me a second to get, but at the end of the scene, I'm like, oh, that's wicked awesome. It was when he met with the principal.
Yes, that is it.
Is this the one?
That's it. Yes.
So when Peter Parker is in the principal's office, I don't know if you remember this. When Peter Parker's in the principal's office and he's sitting there talking to the Asian-looking... younger Asian-looking guy.
His principal, Morita.
Yeah, but it's Kenneth Choi.
Is the actor.
But he's sitting down. But if you look
behind him...
On the filing cabinet, there's a picture of a World War II veteran
yep.
who was in the first Captain America movie.
He's part of the...
He's part of the Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's the Asian guy in it. He's like, I'm from Queens or Brooklyn or whatever
it
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there.
No, Fresno. Yeah. That's what
I was sitting there and I looked at it.
Sorry,
like,
this was exciting.
I was so excited about this. But I was sitting there and I looked at it. I was like,
it took me... I was looking at it and I didn't piece it together until he was leaving the office and I'm like...
See, I noticed it, I pieced it together, but I needed to look it up just to make sure. And it's the same actor.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It is. It made him look a little bit younger.
It's a grandfather, grandson. It's fine. Whatever. I was okay with it.
Supposedly, there was some weird fan theory out there that he married... what's his face? Who's the girl? Peggy Carter.
Oh,
and his grandkid.
Jim Morita is the character from Captain America.
Yeah, and then his grandson or daughter was whoever was Captain America's girlfriend in the Civil War.
Crap. What is Carter's first name?
Oh, I forget.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, that's a weird fan theory that they got going on right now.
There's
so.
No evidence.
Who knows?
So.
Who knows? Yeah. But no, a lot of Easter eggs in this movie.
Yeah.
Good fights.
Yeah,
I guess.
No, everything was entertaining. It was just
the whole thing was entertaining. Yeah. Happy Hogan was funny.
It was a nice return for Happy Hogan.
It just really
because he really
proves that he's incompetent at doing things.
But like he really wasn't in Iron Man 3. He was in the beginning.
No, which is fine.
But he was in Iron Man 1 and 2 as like a supporting cast.
Yeah.
He really wasn't in Iron Man 3, so it was kind of nice seeing...
I've never liked
Farva
Happy Hogan
or whatever. Farva character. Coming back.
Yeah, I thought he was in the second one way too much.
Yeah.
I thought he was in this movie way too much.
He directed it.
He was the point of contact in this movie.
That's where I'm okay with saying
okay,
he was in it.
Yeah, he's the point of contact, but at the same time, he's just kind of annoying. I don't know. It's just... The character's just like...
There was the,
I get annoyed
the kind
at
of
everything.
Nice Easter egg with the wedding ring.
It was
like,
really
I've been holding
history.
On to this since 2008, and that's the first Iron Man movie came out in 2008.
What was I going to say? Nice good thing that we had a Gwyneth Paltrow appearance, you know, because that's just one more movie that she's in, that she's done her list, and we can get rid of her at some point.
It's a nice,
someone doesn't like Gwyneth.
Literally,
no, because
she was in there for less than a minute.
She signed on for so many movies, which is
what
actors do. I feel
like you can't get out of being in a movie contract or showing up for 3 seconds.
No,
she get bought out.
But the thing is, in Civil War,
she's not in Civil War.
I feel like they had to write the script around her not being in the movie.
Yeah, because they're like separate at that point.
Yeah, and I understand why it was in there and stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, if she was on good terms with the studio, then she would have been in the movie.
Yeah, unless she was busy at the time. You know,
I don't think so. I mean, she has her own smell line.
Yeah,
or
she.
she's not
like go down the goop train here.
Yeah, that thing. I forgot what it was called. But anyway,
that apparently. Some claims there that aren't exactly scientifically confirmed. So,
what?
Crazy. Celebrities trying to sell us their crazy magic. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Who knew?
What else was there? In that same scene, they had the ultimate Spider-Man costume / Iron Spidey suit.
Yeah,
it was a mixture of both, but I think it's more or less the ultimate
Spider-Man
suit.
And it was really cool. I liked seeing that.
Yeah,
I enjoyed seeing it.
Mm.
Never put it on. I like the fact that he's going back to New York.
Yeah, he's like, I want to be the guy on the ground. I don't want to be part of the Avengers yet.
Show up, give me a call when you need me type thing.
Yeah, that reminds me. There was one line in it where Tony Stark's like, can't you just be a friendly neighborhood spider? I was like, oh, that just felt forced.
Yeah, that did feel kind of stupid.
Yeah, you just forced it in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome. The intro for Marvel played the Spider-Man theme.
Okay, here's a quick question. How many of you were singing Spider Pig in your head?
Me.
I was.
Damn, that's
Spider-Man. Spider Pig.
Does
whatever a spider
What else
does.
Was there? I also liked how they did the setup for Sinister Six. I don't care what you say. That's Sinister
Scorpion.
Six. Scorpion is in that. That it's the guy is there. We had see Scorpion, but I mean the fact that he had a tattoo.
The suit, but he had the tattoo of a scorpion.
No, but that's
talking with Vulture.
That's a good thing.
No, and that was Doc Ock.
It's very well implied that that will be the next, you know, villain
right.
crew that Spider-Man faces. What else was Which, there? That
Sony
has
signed on for what, 3 films?
I believe so.
Is it 3 or 5?
No. I want to say Spider-Man signed up for 5.
Right, so Sony signed Spider-Man up for 5 films.
But Infinity War and Captain... and
Captain America.
No, Infinity War and The Avengers 4. Oh. Those are the 2, and then there's 3 Spider-Man movies.
Oh, okay.
So there might be some
So Civil War around. Has nothing to do with that contract.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Whatever. It's so many years.
At this
point,
I'm okay. I'm excited for another standalone Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'd be happy with it. I don't want Iron Man in it anymore. Let him. Well, maybe if he wants to bounce ideas off of him.
He kind of said that at the end is like he's parting ways with Spider-Man. Okay, you've passed all the tests. Go out on your own.
Yeah, and like, I don't mind if he like bounces off ideas with some of the Avengers or one of them or whoever it is, but. You know.
Now, we're talking Avengers now. How about Captain America's cameos?
Oh, so, Jesus. Captain America's cameo.
That was one of my favorite lines was from Hannibal Burgess.
Yeah.
The gym teacher. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure this guy's a war criminal now.
But whatever. I love that line. That was so great.
Up until his post-credit scene. It was awesome. And then it just was, everything was ruined by that post-credit scene.
You know what I felt with the so I enjoyed the final credit scene, but it kind of felt like, they forced doing like a Deadpool-esque final scene, where it was like, it has nothing to do with the movie, so it's going to be funny, but like talking to the audience kind of thing. And like, I didn't mind it, but I mean, it was my least favorite of the Captain America cameos.
I think it was my least favorite post-credit scene out of all of them. All of them. I like them eating shawarma in New York way better than I did.
That's a classic scene, though. That's probably the best outside of Iron Man. That's Iron Man's the best. You can't touch that one. But, like, shawarma's a second.
What else was there?
Because it was, like, totally ad-libbed.
We haven't talked about one of the best parts. And spoiler alert, by the way, we've already spoiled the movie. But I'm going to
at porn.
I don't know if you want to be here for this, John.
That was great.
What are you doing in here? Looking at porn?
You don't care? So the biggest reveal of this movie, I was completely caught off guard. Completely caught off guard with this. When Peter Parker goes to pick up his homecoming date, he walks up to the front door. And who answers the door?
Oh, Falcon, yeah. Vulture.
Birdman.
Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Had no idea.
That's not the reference I was going for.
And it
blew me away.
I thought the whole theater, like, collectively just, like, took a breath in.
There's a lot of people, I've read a lot of reviews where they were like, that was stupid.
Nope.
I was like, I had no idea that was going to happen.
I like that play on the whole, like, your girlfriend's dad is your... ultimate enemy.
And like
and only he knew that.
Right. Yeah.
Only he knew that he knew played that. It
and then
hilarious.
Driving to the homecoming is when Toomes was like, fuck, Peter Parker is Spider-Man, man. Yep. Like driving there, he's like, hey, I just need to talk.
And
pulls out the gun.
Pulls out the
Don't
gun.
You fucking dare.
No, he didn't. He put it in front of the seat. So he couldn't he knew he had a gun, but
oh yeah, no.
That was awesome. The way they did that scene was great.
That was great.
It was awesome.
Can I interject here?
Of course.
So people online thought that was stupid.
Yeah.
People thought that was stupid.
People can go fucking die because like that's like a I had heard about that. That's like an interesting, complicated thing to do.
No,
like,
without a doubt. We're comic book movie fans, and we would think about this.
Yeah. Well,
and
no idea. At no point did they say her last name. It was like Toomes.
No, they never did. Oops,
and
sorry.
Like that's like one of the big reveals for like the Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises when they were like, haha, I'm Talia al Ghul. Like, yeah, you told us before the movie even came out that she was playing Talia al Ghul. Nice try at that reveal. Like, yeah.
No, it was...
It would be a stupid way of doing that reveal. This one was awesome because they never said the character, the girl's name, last name, but they did refer to the Vulture as Toomes, like his last
name. We knew his name. It's just... And then you never would have thought, like, interracial marriage with a half-black child. Like, It makes sense now. It's just you never really thought about it.
Like, I thought that was an amazing reveal.
It was, and they played it so good. Because he's just happy-go-lucky with the knife in his hand, and he's cutting veggies or something. And Peter Parker's just looking at him like
terrified.
He's freaking out. Well done. Whoever set that up.
It was like right after he decided to, like, I'm not going to mess with Vulture anymore.
Yeah, right?
And then well done.
Yep.
They actually had a homecoming dance for 12 seconds.
In a movie called Homecoming.
Homecoming, oh my God.
Right?
Who knew?
What else? What are the good things about this?
Honestly, like, this was a solid movie.
It was just a really enjoyable movie.
It was really enjoyable.
All in all, there was, like, I really, really don't have many, like, any complaints about
this movie. I thought it was a really good movie.
It was.
Like, there are, I do have some complaints. We'll get to that.
I really, like.
We got them. We're.
Yeah.
Are we long on this?
Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Negatives.
Negatives.
Drag this fucker.
Not enough. Aunt May. She plays such a huge part in Peter Parker's life in every aspect of the comics, and I like Marissa Tomei, so why not have more? I really wanted there to be more, because she's such a good figure for him in his life.
Well, we're going to get other Spider-Man movies. We're going to get more Aunt May, more
MJ. We hope,
establishing
the
universe that Spider-Man is in.
No, but we hope. It's just, I'd rather them focus more on the Aunt May relationship, which they already have. We already know this. But they already have 60 other Easter egg type characters in this movie alone. Some of the scenes, like the whole Washington Monument scene, it was 100% unnecessary. You could have skipped it, and the story still would have progressed rather well. So it's just, it was weird having scenes like that that just didn't. Like, you could have skipped out. It wouldn't have been a 2-hour.
The big thing with the Washington Monument scene is that's where Toomes realizes that was Peter Parker.
I know. And it was
because of that random scene that is like a throwaway scene. It was because of that scene is where he realizes.
I know. And it was a long throwaway scene.
But it was necessary for the plot.
I know. But it just didn't seem. You could have done without it and worked it in another way. But then again, it's the movie we got. I thought there was too much Tony Stark. See, I thought it's perfect.
I thought it was perfect, Sam.
I'm saying...
They
flirted with the line very closely and they put too much.
Curious, how much Tony Stark was there?
He was in every act. Voice-wise and
he was in every act, but if you added up all the time, it's probably less than 10 minutes.
Screen time? 10 minutes.
Because it's hilarious, because prominent on like the movie post.
No. He's throughout the movie. Like, his voice, and then you actually see him in a different location. Like, he's there. So it's a Tony Stark movie.
But to help explain to John, he's kind of like, in all those like renegade cop movies, the commissioner.
Yeah, where he's like, you gotta slow down, man.
He's kind of showing up like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was that, and aside from like those couple things, like I thought it was a great movie. I really liked this movie, but those two things, I didn't want Iron Man. I didn't want a lot of Iron Man. I wanted Spider Man, and it's weird that
Iron Man kind of acted as a bridge.
Yeah,
and I get that. But I really liked
the Avengers.
I thought if Iron Man was less, because I'm a huge Iron Man fan, not Spider Man so much. Full disclosure, but I thought with less Iron Man, I would have been able to like Spider Man more. And as a result, my favorite character in the whole movie was the Vulture.
See, here's my thing with Iron Man in the film. He, starting in Civil War, he acts as like Peter Parker's like mentor. So, and that whole him being his mentor isn't resolved in Civil War.
No, I agree.
It continues into Homecoming.
Which is the whole point of the Homecoming movie.
Which is why I was fine with Tony Stark being in the movie as much as he was. He was guiding him along the way and even has the very most important message of the movie, which is without that suit, if you're nothing, then you don't deserve the suit.
I know. And that's very mentorish, because it would have been Uncle Ben saying that in any other.
And I'm perfectly fine with no Uncle Ben.
Yeah, they didn't mention Uncle Ben at all.
Ever.
Which is great.
So, like, That's why he was in it the perfect amount. He was in there just enough that you needed him. He didn't help save the day. I thought he was probably going to during the fight with Vulture. I thought he was going to like come in and save the day or something. But no, like
I was shocked he didn't.
Yeah,
I knew he was going to go in that
scene. I had a really strong feeling that was going to happen. It didn't, and that's why I really feel
What are the odds that Sony's like, let's have Iron Man come in and help fight the Vulture, and Marvel's like, no, you fucking don't. No, you don't. He's on his own. This is a Spider-Man movie, which is good because I would have freaked out if they had Iron Man go in and that.
Right.
But anyway, that's it for my complaint. Like, I mean, you guys have any...
I really don't have any complaints about this movie.
No, okay. I don't have, like,
any... For a superhero film, I thought they hit all the points that they needed to, and they really didn't miss any points that they needed to.
You want to do ranking?
Free advice. No, yes. My free advice to Sony.
Oh.
Calm down with your cameos and your Easter eggs. How much was it to have Jennifer Connelly play Karen, Donald Glover go in there for less than 60 seconds of screen time... And whoever the lady is of damage control, you need to be careful with who you're casting. Not to mention one of the kids was the kid from Beast of No Nation, which I'm sure is not cheap. Sony, please be more cost efficient with your money, because when you sign these big name characters, they're going to demand a lot of money being in a comic book movie because they know there's going to be multiple.
Okay.
And eventually your costs are going to be so high that you're going to run into issues about red and black.
All right, counterpoint?
Go ahead.
Doesn't fucking matter. They have these people signed up for multiple movies.
Right.
Put people in one movie, so you have a connection to the next movie, and it's effectively marketing.
Yep.
I know, and I completely understand that. However, everybody's going to be on the bandwagon now, so nobody's coming cheap.
I don't think Jennifer Connelly... Like, yeah, Jennifer Connelly's a known actor, but, like...
It was her
voice. Donald Glover is a huge up-and-coming actor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
He ain't Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there who would not know who he is.
Right. It's like, he was in Community.
Anybody watch Atlanta?
Atlanta, The Martian.
He was in...
How much of a role did he have in The Martian?
That was a pretty big one. No, he's small. More like second half, right?
So yeah. Think of physicist. Like he's not really an. He has a name for himself because he's a stand-up comedian, but outside of that,
he's coming up.
My one complaint, and I want to see how Sam stands behind this.
I asked if you had no complaints.
No. It all of a sudden clicked. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that was a complaint.
All right,
Flash. Go. Flash, the character.
Yeah.
The bully?
Yeah.
It was great.
I did not like who they casted, because when I picture Flash, I think meathead, but at the same time, like, smartish. And they got the meathead, but the build, like, the kid's build, he was just like a scrawny kid like Peter Parker.
Tony Revolori.
Yeah. I didn't see him as, like, this jock-esque character.
They didn't want to.
But that's the thing
because bullies about Flash. Come in all shapes and sizes.
I understand that.
Yep.
But Flash has always been this big guy.
Mary Jane has also had red hair.
Right. But at the same time, Flash dons the Venom suit, and Venom is always much bigger than Peter Parker.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I when I saw him, I liked the character. I didn't like him as the character Flash. Flash, like...
You know what? They're doing new stuff.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so...
All right.
If you were to give it a number... I think there's three ways you should, like, rank this.
Right.
All right, first one I think is the easiest one. Best Spider-Man movie? Anybody disagree?
It's a really, really close.
I say best.
This was my best.
It's really
my
close.
My favorite Spider-Man movie.
So you would say it's up and up, it's neck and neck with two?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think it's just villain preference for these movies.
And Sean didn't like...
He likes Doc Ock more than...
Vulture. So
Vulture probably.
That makes sense. Okay. So now, if you just give it a number score, what do you give it?
I give it 9.
Wow.
Wow. That's very high. All
right. I really like this movie.
I do too.
I'm comparing this to Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you're very generous with your rating system here. Sam, what
probably you, say like an 8.5, something like that.
I was going to say like an 8.4.
Yeah, some.
I was balancing between 3 and 5, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll just split it."
Sam, what were you?
8.5.
So now if we compare this to the rest of the MCU, it doesn't have to be exactly where it falls, but like roughly where does it fall?
It's towards the top.
Oh yeah, top like 3 for me.
Yeah. I'd say between 5 and 10. Yeah.
I would put it top 5 possibly.
No way this is correct top 5 for me. So.
Okay.
So we're
never going to explain what our actual lists are.
Yeah, no, we got to do a special.
Yeah,
for
we really have to sit down and
but like a thought occurred to me where I'm like, is this the sort of best comic book movie I've seen this year? And I still have to give it to Logan.
Yeah, easily.
Because here's the thing about this movie. This movie was standard. Like, this is exactly what all these movies... This is the template.
What it needs to be.
It knocked that out of the park.
Wait, are you saying a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie is very competent, but not otherwise, brilliant?
Yeah.
Great? Wow. Crazy.
Wow. But stick to that formula, Marvel.
Like, Logan... The thing Logan did was they tried something new, and they made it work.
They made me cry twice.
Literally, like,
twice.
With that movie... Like, I completely agree with you, Sam. Like, Spider-Man was a great film.
This is probably the second best, but I still have to say it's Logan.
Logan, by far, is the best superhero film. Possibly the best film I've seen this year.
Again, I just can't believe they make 3 of these movies each year, and they're all the fucking same movie.
Pretty much.
Mm.
3 of these. We have 4.
Well, on average.
Oh.
We're going on average. We have
5.
Well, no, there's 3 this year. There's Guardians, there's Spider-Man and then Thor.
Thor.
That's it.
That's 3.
Logan? No.
Logan isn't MCU.
Logan's not MCU.
It's not MCU.
Oh, we're not doing... Oh.
No, not including MCU, because then you got to include DC and
that's
stuff
like that.
That's
the XCU?
Sue? Okay. But anyway...
Always remember, the only way Logan's coming back is if he's in the MCU. Come on, MCU!
They will never let that happen.
Come on, MCU!
No, they will never let that happen. Not to mention, I watched X-Men Apocalypse earlier today, just the last 20 minutes because I wanted to see Phoenix again. I thought I really liked what they did with Phoenix.
Yeah. That makes this next one.
Yeah, looked great.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, talking about stuff Sophie Turner's in.
Yes. Yep. Great transition.
Yeah. There we go.
So, buddy, transition's my middle name. So,
Tranny. No.
John Tranny.
I'm sorry. Transition. The microphone
Jesus
cut out.
So.
Come back from that.
There is a very...
Good night, everybody.
Send your complaints to...
There's a micro-budget art house TV show coming back on Sunday called Game of Thrones, which is coming back now for what is, in some ways, its last season, which is split over 2 years. But this is it, guys. This is the home stretch. Mm.
Finally, things might happen.
Yeah, it's been a slow build.
Oh, yeah. We had to wait a long time for this new season to start.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been a big layoff, and it might be an even larger one on the flip side,
too. Yeah, I heard about that.
They're saying they just don't know. I mean, it's...
It might not even be 2018.
It might be a while.
Wow.
Yeah, it might be 2019. Westworld might come out first. Actually, Westworld probably
it
will
is,
come
yeah.
out
yeah.
first.
R.R. Martin will finally finish the next book.
You think HBO's sitting there being like, we know the minute the show ends, everyone's going to cancel their subscription? Let's,
100%.
Let's drag this out.
I think once they sign Westworld to multi-year deals, then they can get rid of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, Westworld is so much their next Game of Thrones for them. Like, they're
right now
so
it is,
Okay, well, Game of Thrones. What do you guys think is going to happen? I've tasked each of you, who we all sort of watch this show. Are we all going to watch every episode every week?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Probably not.
I have people coming over tomorrow night to watch it, so.
Thanks for the invite.
Do you want to? Or are you going to have,
no,
you're gonna have
I'll
to drive?
I'll probably be home.
Yeah,
it's not a great
I mean, you're more than welcome to. It's just you're going to have to drive at 10:30 at night. It's going to be a long one, I think. I don't think it's an hour. I think it's
It probably is. The first ones are usually long, too. Well, we got, 7-8 episodes here?
Yeah, I think it's seven this season.
Six next-ish,
and then 6 next season-ish.
So, to essentially say where we are right now, where we left off, I think we're in pretty much 3 stories now. Like, we started, we had like 20 going at one point, but it's really just 3.
We have Daenerys on the boat. She's on the boat with the dragons, and...
And she's with
Powder finger guy?
Yeah, the Martells. and the
Sand Snakes.
Sand Snakes.
The Yeah.
They're Martell.
Martells. Right? Sand Snakes, because the Martells met with the Sand Snakes, and then who's the big guy with the bald? Oh, what the heck is his name?
Question.
Oh,
Varys.
Varys. Yeah. So Varys meets with Sand Snakes.
Sand Snakes are a family?
No, they're they're sisters.
Oh, okay.
And I thought they're all dead.
I thought they were like, no. You know, like Dune snakes.
They're all sisters. No. They met with Lady Martell.
Things that
the old Lady Martell,
right.
And then Varys came out.
No,
of
no,
the
no.
Back.
It's not Martell. It's who's? What's their name? The
Marjorie Tyrell.
Tyrell.
Oh not yeah, Martell. not Martell. I'm sorry. Yeah. Tyrell.
It is right.
Yeah.
So essentially,
all three of them and Daenerys.
Everybody that Cersei has pissed off, minus the Starks, are Team Daenerys.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
on the pirate ships.
On the ships.
Yar.
Yep. On the Iron Island.
On the Iron Island ships, and then they're sailing, and that was the last thing we saw.
Anyone keep forgetting about the Iron Islands, that whole subplot?
Yeah, or that there's still like this other random guy who showed up, who's like,
who
was
it, Balon
grimacing?
Or
yeah.
Euron?
Euron.
Euron Greyjoy.
Who I guess in the books is a little bit more significant.
We'll deal with that later.
I just feel like how could he possibly become like a big bad or something this quick when like we've spent like 3 seconds with him?
Yeah.
Worry about that when it comes
okay.
to it.
All right.
Second,
and then
going further north, if you will.
Right. Cersei, who has literally killed everybody but Jaime. Pretty
yep,
much.
Yeah.
That was
and the
giant
mountain.
Explosion, right?
Yeah.
Green explosion.
Yep.
The city's getting kind of roomy.
Yeah. Plenty of
so,
because nobody's there.
She's kind of become a dictator overnight. And yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So it's her and Jaime, and she's lost her mind.
And she is
and she
the new Mad King.
The Lannister the Island, the Lannister Army.
Yeah.
And she has the. King's Landing Guard.
Yeah, Royal Army or whatever.
Royal Army, whatever it is. So she's got the middle.
Yep.
Pretty much.
And then up top, on the flanking route,
the King of the North.
The King of the North, Jon Snow, recently revealed to be a Targaryen himself. Though he doesn't
very
know it.
Very much implied. I mean,
no, it's
fade out to his face
please.
From a baby.
Please.
Yes, that's a Targaryen.
Please. Have you heard of stories before?
He doesn't, he doesn't know this, but it is.
Right. Which he doesn't know, which again... That's...
Nobody knows this except for Bran. Bran, I think, is the only one who actually knows this. Actual scene in the TV shows, he has seen this.
Right.
Right?
It's
he saw what happened
at
the Tower
the flashback,
of Joy.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's
only
Bran,
he knows.
Who is... Somewhere up north. Up
that
north.
Whole thing.
So he's further north.
Actually,
to go even further.
There's going to briefly be four stories here. Because, yeah, Bran is even further north. Needs to get back to Jon.
Does it always feel like even the show keeps forgetting about Bran?
Well,
no.
I mean, he was on, like,
what's
not in a whole season.
The Ranger, his uncle, Benjen, dropped him off at the wall.
Okay.
And I think that's where they ended,
oh,
right?
That's right. Okay.
Yep.
And yeah, then his uncle who's, like, part... White Walker or whatever.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, white, not White Walker.
Yeah, I don't think we'll finish that story.
White?
I think he's just there.
Well, yeah, like the zombies are whites. The guys who make the zombies are White Walkers.
Yeah. So we got four solid regions, for lack of a better term, that are going to clash. Given the trailers and everything, there's going to be battles everywhere.
Okay. So... What do we think is going to happen? We'll start with Sean.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't want to ask me. Because I
got
three theories. I've got three theories, and you guys are going to yell at me.
We're only talking this episode to episode 7.
Yeah,
not
okay.
the end of the season.
No.
Okay.
Maybe elaborate to the end of the season.
Yeah,
because
you never know what's
going
to happen in the first. Nothing could happen in the first. You talk. So my theories about what's going to happen in the season with you guys yelling at me and possibly
go
getting my mic muted. One, someone's going to die.
Can we have a good prediction?
I told you mine are going to be shit. Number two, someone will finally refer to dragons as wyverns.
He's muted.
Sam.
Called it!
Yeah, okay. Let's go with this one. Jamie's going to kill Cersei's.
Get right. That was mine.
Yeah. Dude, it's going to happen.
You think it's this season? I think it might be.
I think it might be this season, too. They need to get rid of her at some point before Jon and Daenerys meet.
So I don't think I ever explained, like, the way I think of this, how this is all playing out, is just through, like, what's going on with the gods. Have I ever explained that?
So shoot, dude. This is if not now, when?
So there's pretty much two gods: the Lord of Light and the Many-Faced God.
There. I mean, there's obviously the old and the new, but go. Continue.
Well, here's the thing about those gods: don't really see them doing much. The only ones you see ever doing.
I don't know, dude. You've seen like the old gods, like. Fucking! What about the children of? I don't think the old gods have done nothing. I'll say.
All right.
The tree gods, like.
But this is what's going on. It's basically a
children
war.
Of the fucking forest, dude.
It's like a war between the Many-Faced God and the Lord of Light.
Okay.
Because it's death versus life.
What about the drowned god bringing people back to life?
I don't know what's going on with that.
Dead has never died. I mean, died. Never fucking go. Just go.
But because. Everybody betrayed the Lord of Light's king, the bad king, because the Targaryens were supposed to be there, because they have dragons, shoot fire, Lord of Light's connected to fire, plus fire kills the White Walkers. So that happens. I'm not doing a very good job explaining this. I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Nope.
So pretty much what's going on is the Lord of Light is killing everyone who killed the Mad King.
Okay.
Just in, like, as cruel ways
as
you can.
Were the Targaryens, though? I don't think they followed the Lord of Light, though. Like, that's an Eastern thing.
I don't think
thing.
They did, yes.
Like, Sam, they came from like the
Eastern. Sam, what you're saying is basically it's God versus God, and they're controlling everything.
Yeah.
Perfect. And that's what everything's going to turn out to be. So, basically, lost.
I don't know if they're going to explain that, but...
I don't... The Many-Faced God, though, isn't really, like, a big player, though.
No, there's only one kind of thread pulling at that god right now.
Yeah, it might get revealed. You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Well,
never.
I don't know. This just feels right, because the Many-Faced God has a lot to do with death, and the White Walkers are dead.
All right, Sam, where do you feel, like, just in general, if you were to just, like, explain the rest of Game of Thrones in, like, two sentences, what do you think happens?
Well, Cersei dies. And... The Daenerys and Jon Snow have to team up against the White Walkers.
Okay. All right, Chris, what is your bold prediction?
So I'm going to agree with Sam, but I think it's going to be with the Daenerys, Jon Snow. I think that's going to be next.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be next. That's going to be
next.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be next.
Because they're going to have troubles.
So I was thinking along two routes. I was thinking Arya is going to start her list, but then again, I keep thinking who's left.
Right.
There's just not many. And Jaime will kill Cersei. It's just a matter of when. So there's her off the list. When they showed the prediction, she went to the fortune teller. Your brother will kill you by his hands. Which leads me even further to that point that it's Jaime and not Tyrion. But I think the first half...
To just go back to my theory... Jaime, who actually killed the king, has the cruelest punishment of all. He has to kill the woman he loves.
Okay. Which is... But I guess you can see it that way. But the fortune teller in the scene said that she'll die by her brother's hands.
Yeah.
But I think that's... I think that's gonna happen, but you already took that.
Sorry.
So I'm gonna go with another theory that... Cersei thinks it's Tyrion, but Jaime's technically her only brother because I think Tyrion will be proven to be a Targaryen this first half. And then he'll be able to ride the dragon. And then in the second half, we'll find out that Jon Snow will be able to ride the dragon, you know, when they fight the White Walkers.
This dragon has three heads.
I know. So I think the first half is going to be Tyrion is finally shown to be a Targaryen.
Okay. Is that do you have a bold prediction apart from that?
He took it with the Cersei.
Oh, okay.
Jaime killing Cersei.
All right, I would generally agree with both of you that, like, and I think most people are like, listen, I've fucking watched the show. It's pretty obvious the direction it's going. But we haven't had, like, a course correction in a while. You know, like...
Yeah, I can see there.
We're sort of overdue, and like...
Are we thinking like Littlefinger killed Jon Snow type thing?
Whoa! Maybe.
That would be a major course correction.
I guess what I'm saying is, and this might be a cop-out, you can get angry at me if it is, I think... let me put it this way. I think we know way less than we do. So, like, I think we're, like, getting way too ahead of ourselves. I think there's
going
to be a
couple
curveballs.
You think we're going down the Westworld rabbit hole and not looking at
no,
things face value?
Well,
I mean, you
it
went
makes
pretty
too
deep.
Much, it makes too much sense. Like, it makes a lot of sense. And that's not the world we live in. The world we live in, to quote, you know, Tyrion Lannister, well, actually not to quote, but the world Game of Thrones live in is not something that makes sense. It's a fucking guy with a rock crushing beetles. Like, it just fucking happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it's going to get way more messier. Because, I totally agree. There's like a very clear through line of like, X and Y are going to get together and go fuck up, you know, W. But I don't know, man.
So what do you think is going to be the course correction?
Yeah, what do you...
I think, yeah, I would... If I had to pick one guy, I would say Littlefinger is going to be the Chaos Agent for sure.
What do you think is going to happen? We're talking bold predictions. You told us bold predictions.
Yeah, give us something bold. Bold and spicy.
Sure. I think... see, it's like Jon Snow can't die at this point.
You
right?
came up with this idea. And you know,
I know.
Jon Snow is an nation. Don't
they
say that there's going to be a wrench.
Jon Snow dies.
Yeah.
Twice.
Well, I mean, my real thing is, I think, well, at the end of the show, I think Daenerys is the new Mad King. I think she's like.
What if Daenerys dies?
Verse 7.
Because here's the thing. We already, if we're right about. Tyrion, we still have a Lannister down there. Not a Lannister. Sorry.
Targaryen.
There's no way. Well, I mean, to John's point,
if you're talking about
no, I was
course
say,
correction, she is replaceable.
There's three Targaryens. Two that we know of. Yeah,
if,
I guess.
If you want to throw a curveball.
I guess.
I don't know. John doesn't seem like a king to me. Like, he seems like he's Ned Stark. Like, he's Warden of the North, you know?
Are you talking... All right, so what's your prediction for the next seven? Because came up with one prediction for the final.
I think Littlefinger fucking kills somebody. Very important.
So are you talking Jon Snow, Cersei, Sansa,
I don't think it's... I think it's more like maybe Sansa.
You know, fuck it. I'm just going to go with this prediction. Tywin's the king.
I mean, Tyrion?
Tyrion, sorry.
Well,
it might work.
Very interesting.
He would be the oldest. No, he wouldn't.
Very interesting you brought that up, Sam. Yeah. Because I have here...
Don't look at titles of the episodes.
No.
Okay.
I have here, from my online sports book, the odds of who will sit on the Iron Throne at the end of Season 7, which I'm assuming they mean this current season, not, you know, any sort of extended Season 7.
Okay.
So, the odds-on favorite by a pretty wide margin here. Cersei Lannister -300, which I actually really don't like those odds.
She's already on it. So they're talking by the end.
By the end. Yeah. Who will sit on it at the end? Daenerys is 3-1. Jon Snow 6-1. Littlefinger 12-1. Tyrion 12-1. And then it just gets fucking dumb. The next one is Gendry.
Well,
actually, he does have a claim, though, so...
He does, but it's not as good as a Targaryen.
Yeah, and it's like, at this point,
I'm
let's just
go
move
with,
on from
I'm
the
I'm
going to
go with bold prediction, end of series. Dany is the queen of the Iron Throne, and Jon Snow is the king of the White Walkers. And those two get together, because it's a Targaryen, and then they rule the kingdom, king and queen. White Walkers dragons.
No fucking way. White Walkers are
prediction.
Fucking...
It's a bold prediction.
That is a very bold prediction.
Hey, you want it bold. I'm giving it to your heart.
I sort of feel like this whole series is about bringing balance back.
That would be balanced.
No, it wouldn't, because
I mean, what
all,
happens when two
you know
are,
the,
in this show? What happens when
the
enemies try
always...
and force an alliance?
Yeah, but
they
the White Walkers are like objective evil.
Yeah.
Like, they're not good.
Maybe Dany is against the ropes and Jon Snow has to sacrifice himself in order to save her and becomes the king of the White Walkers.
I would
Walkers.
Say if there's a new king of the White Walkers, it's fucking Bran.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be of anything of significance except for the tree. He's going to turn into the tree.
Can the White Walkers bring back his his legs.
Maybe. Like kind they of bring like dead a, things back to life. So.
Kind of like a Darth Pelagius situation.
Oh, boy. But anyway, I gave my bold predictions.
All right.
You wanted them. I gave it to you.
Ah, that just doesn't feel right.
It's a prediction. That's one of many that I have for the show because things will change until the last episode.
I don't, like I said, mine is just essentially, I think everyone sort of has an idea of where it's going to go, and I just feel like it just, the show doesn't act that way. It's not that, like, readable, you know?
Who knows?
Who knows for a book? Okay.
We'll start to find out tomorrow night. 12 hours, right?
It is, yes, 12 it's hours, 23 possibly hours, less if you're listening to this. 23 hours and
50 minutes.
At any other time?
23 hours and 50 minutes until the season starts. And again, you can come over if you want.
All right. Thank you for, like, sarcastically, thank you for the invite. So.
Yeah. So that does it for us.
That just about wraps it up.
Yeah, that wraps it up. We only did two things today. If you like all this, if you like our episode, you can find more episodes on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. You can also find them on Facebook.com/KnightsInNerditude. Next week, we will be talking about series premiere of Game of Thrones, and we will try and get some Preacher in.
And an elimination challenge.
And an elimination challenge. One of us will be forced to see the Emoji Movie.
All that and more.
Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.